Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome. Today we are celebrating the appearance, actually yesterday, technically, Nityananda Trayodashi. Trayodashi means the 13th day on lunar calendar, or lunar fortnight. And let's talk about his divine grace, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Ajanu lambita bujao kanaka vadato sankirtanai kapitarao kamalaya taksho vishvambaro jujavaro yugadharma palo vande jagat priyakaro karuna avataro. We are in the age of Kali Yuga, Iron Age, Kali. The universe goes through four seasons. We go through four seasons. So does the universe. They're just much longer. Way longer. And we are in the Iron Age now, Kali Yuga, which is like the winter, if you want to compare it to the seasons. It is the most difficult time. Everything begins to fall apart. People lose their compass, they lose their direction, they become more greedy, they lose their morals. It becomes an anything goes mentality. You know, whatever works for you, that's fine. Well, I'm not saying that tolerance is not right. Tolerance is, of course, the best thing. But anything and everything is accepted as religion. So, and spirituality. In each of the four yugas or ages, the Golden Age, Satya Yuga, the Silver Age, Treta Yuga, the Bronze Age, Dvapara Yuga, and the Iron Age, Kali Yuga, there is an incarnation of Vishnu, of God, who comes down. When you say God comes down from above and he takes a form here in the material world, we call that a?
Avatar.
Not like the movies. This is the original concept of Avatar. But in Kali Yuga, the Avatar is Avaran. Avaran. Covered. Not revealed. Hidden. Well, does he come or does he not come? Yeah, he comes. But it's not common knowledge. So, the verse I just quoted, let's read that. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, whose long arms extend to their knees. They have splendid golden complexions. They inaugurated the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. We just did some congregational chanting as led by His Grace Kurma Prabhu. Their eyes resemble the petals of the lotus flowers. They are the maintainers of all the worlds, the best of the Brahmins, the protectors of the religious principles for this age. Religious principles are different in each age? Not exactly, because dharma is dharma. Right? And dharma means to be honest, to be truthful, to be virtuous, to make a contribution to the world around you, to act in harmony with your nature. That's true in every age. But it gets harder and harder to do as the ages progress. So these are the inaugurators of the Dharma of this age, Chaitanya Nityananda. They bring happiness to the people of the world and are the most merciful of all incarnations. That's the essence of what we want to talk about today. Most merciful. There is a prediction. It says that all avatars, all incarnations of God, any kind of manifestation of God, must be found in the Shastra. There must be a verse, a Sanskrit verse, somewhere in the voluminous texts of the Vedas that tells you who's coming and more or less when. Is that in there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. And that's in the 11th canto. 12 cantos, 11th canto. Far end of the book. So, it says that Krishna, who comes in the previous age, Dwapara, Krishna was what color? Blue. Some say black. He's like a monsoon cloud, blackish blue. That was Krishna's color. And when Chaitanya came, he's the opposite of that. He's Tvasha Krishnam. He's golden. Golden color. He's called the golden avatar. Chaitanya is the principal manifestation of the Godhead. Nityananda, his partner, his companion, is the second manifestation. Like, how does that work with God? If we have an original candle, here it sits, it's lit, it's burning. That's the original Godhead, right? Now we take a second candle, we light it from the first candle, set it down. What's the difference between those two candles in terms of energy and light, illumination? Same, no? If they're the same size, it's the same thing. But what there is a difference. What's the difference?
One is the supreme.
One came first.
That's not supreme.
One came first, and the other came second. So Nityananda has no difference with Chaitanya in terms of manifestation of the Godhead. He's equal. But Chaitanya comes first. So Nityananda takes a, if you will, a less, a position of service, shall we say, to Chaitanya. Okay? Now, you can find many examples when Ram was here in Treta Yuga, Silver Age. Ram fought a lot of battles. He had a lot of weapons. He had armies. He was a prince. When Krishna was here in Dwapara Yuga, in the Bronze Age, he killed a lot of big demons and fought with weapons. Right? So God doesn't come just with empty pockets. He comes with a whole entourage of paraphernalia. Why? Because he's God. How does he do it nowadays with these leaders? Do they not have a cavalcade of black Mercedes, tinted windows, a couple of motorcycle cops out front, a couple more behind? And nowadays, a guy with an AK-47 on the roof someplace, unfortunately, we need him too, I guess. Right? That's how they roll. So God, he has his things too that he feels are necessary to keep the peace and get rid of the demons. So here it says, Sangopangastra Parshadam. Astra. What is his astra? His weapon. Chaitanya and Nitai have come with their weapons. Sangha Upanga. What is that? Sangha? They're associates. They're friends. They're peeps. Those who they hang out with. Who are those souls? Those are high, high, high beings. Some are spiritually liberated souls. Some are demigods. Come down. Hey, I hear they're coming down. Let's grab a body and go. Did you get the invite? Yeah, I just got the invite in the mail. Let's go. This is going to be great. Yeah? That's what happens. But what is the weapon? Did they bring weapons, Chaitanya and Nitai? No. One weapon. One weapon only. And this is explained by Jiva Goswami. Their weapon was their beauty. They are so attractive and compellingly beautiful that when you'd look upon them, you'd go, oh my God. That's what would happen. And people would come by the thousands and hundreds of thousands to just look upon them and listen. That was the weapon, according to Jiva Goswami. So there were no physical weapons. It was just beauty. And connected to the beauty, love. That's what we'll get to. And it says, Sumedha Saha. Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Those who are intelligent will tune into this, these avatars, and begin to take up the Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma is simply chanting the names of God. It couldn't be that simple. Apparently it is. People not really interested in spirituality in this day and age. A lot of distractions around, in case you hadn't noticed. And see them up in the billboards and, you know, nightclubs and bars and everything else. A lot of distractions. So for anybody to be even remotely interested in spirituality in this age, I mean, look at the Catholic Church. You know, pretty soon they'll be boarding the places up. People don't go. They don't want to go for various reasons. Just become less and less interested. Okay, so were these two, Nityananda and Nitai, Nityananda and Chaitanya, ever together before in another incarnation? Well, I believe they were. Name one, or name two. Balaram and Krishna. Krishna is Chaitanya. Balaram is Nityananda. Right? What if we go back to Treta Yuga, when Lord Ram was here? Ram is? Ram and Lakshman. Ram is a manifestation of Krishna, of the Godhead. And Lakshman, his brother, younger brother, is a manifestation of Nityananda, or a manifestation of Balaram. So, it keeps playing itself out. Over and over. This is called Leela in spiritual, in the Vedic spiritual understanding. It's called Leela. Leela among the Godhead. We have Leelas. We have human Leelas and pastimes and things we do. And things we do repeatedly, like yearly. We celebrate certain festivals and things like that. We have Leela. The Irish love Leela. They love the singing and the dancing and the music and, you know, that sort of thing. So, Leelas, when you talk about God, are what in nature? They are temporary or eternal? They're eternal. They come for a time. They take place for a time. They disappear. Then they go to another universe. They take their act on the road. They go to another universe. And the Leela goes on. And that's how it works. So Leela is actually eternal. It goes on in the material world in a certain way. And then it goes on in the spiritual world unlimitedly. Some of the similar Leelas. Not all. There's no fighting and killing in the spiritual world. There's no need. No demons there. Not, they're not let in. Can't get in if you're a demon. Okay, so Nityananda is actually Balaram is, and that is Anantashesha. You know Anantashesha? The serpent. Ananta means unlimited. Shesha means what? the end, the ultimate. Well, that's kind of a contradiction. Its name's Ananta Shesha, the unlimited ultimate end. Well, he's unlimited, huh? What do you have an end? It's a great name. And he's the serpent couch of Vishnu. When Vishnu enters into the material world to create the universes and all the diversity, he lies down on the causal ocean, which is an ocean existing at the bottom of the material energy, the Mahatattva, on the serpent couch of Ananta Shesha. What do they compare that to? In the body, the rising of the Kundalini, right? This is not serpent energy. And then it's fully opened. So Ananta Shesha is the serpent couch of Vishnu. And then you see all the hoods of the cobra above them. How many? Thousands. Unlimited. And they're all chanting the names, the glories, the pastimes of God. So, that's one of his roles, Nityananda. Also, as providing different things that Vishnu needs when he takes incarnation. So, one time in Bengal, where they appeared on the banks of the Ganges, the Ganges River, the Ganga, is said to be the most sacred river in India because it's coming down from the spiritual world. And you bathe in the Ganges, millions of lifetimes of sinful reactions, negative karmic reaction, are cleansed by bathing in a river such as the Ganga. You can imagine during the monsoon, I don't know if you've seen the Ganges. It is big. It is wide. Sometimes it's miles wide. And it's very powerful. During the monsoon, it becomes especially powerful. And back then, 500 years ago, is when Chaitanya and Nityananda appeared in India, in Bengal. And during the monsoon, Nityananda would dive into the Ganga and he'd swim way out. I mean, nobody in his right mind would go in the Ganges in the monsoon with those huge currents and waves powering through. Because once you got swept up, you can't recover. You'd be miles downstream before we'd find you. So Nityananda would swim in and he'd play and he'd flip on his back. And it's full of crocodiles, by the way. His people, Ananta Shesha, the crocodiles, no, it's going to be his people, his servants. And he'd play and have fun. And people go, oh, what's he doing? He'll be killed. But he wasn't, ever. So that's what he would do as part of his pastimes. Now, the main thing that they did, Chaitanya and Nitai, is they spread love of God. It is very difficult to become God realized for anybody. Why? Because we are conditioned in this lifetime, we are conditioned by birth, by parents, by education, by culture, by environment, by so many things, by expectations of family. And we are conditioned to think and believe certain things. And we are conditioned mainly by the fact that we are enclosed in a dense body, physical body. What is enclosed in the body? Our soul, right? So most people, as I said, are not interested in spirituality, and when they are, it's very difficult to overcome our material inclinations. our material conditioning, our material programming. How many times have you done in your life, you said, I've got to stop doing this. This thing that I do, I don't want to do it. And it's overwhelming, it's overpowering. I fight it, and sometimes I win, and I think it's done, and then I get caught up in it again, and I just can't seem to change. Has anybody ever had that experience, or is it just me?
No.
So, when you're trying to establish yourself on a spiritual path, it's not easy. Chaitanya and Nityananda have provided, they would distribute love of Godhead to anyone and everyone. Now, becoming spiritually liberated, which is what most people who are into Eastern philosophy want. They want to become spiritually liberated, get off the wheel of repeated birth and death, samsara. But there's something higher than that, and that is love, love of God. A lot of people don't think like that, but that brings in the full experience of the ecstasy and the reciprocal loving exchange. So, just like you walk down the street here in the city center, people will come up to you and hand you what? Leaflets? Junk, she says. Yeah, can well be. Leaflets, pamphlets, tracts, different things. Advertisements, come here, eat there, do this, do that, right? And what do the vast majority of people do with these leaflets? They throw them in the bin, correct? And there's a certain amount of them that won't even throw them in the bin. They just throw them on the ground, on the sidewalk, right? So, because what they're giving away doesn't appear to be of value. Well, we have the same attitude toward what was being offered by Chaitanya and Nityananda. This is the easiest path to love of God. Bless you. Easiest path. And I'm going to tell you a couple of stories in a minute. And it's readily available. But we don't take it. We don't take it, or we don't take it seriously. In this age, it is easier to become close to God and develop love for God and get off the wheel of repeated birth and death than any of the other ages of the universe. This is the easiest one. And that is the gift that was given by Chaitanya in the time. There was a prediction made many years ago. I don't know when that prediction was made. That the name would be in every town and village. Was that when they were on the planet? Yeah. Chaitanya Bhagavat said that your name shall be known and repeated in every town and village throughout the world. Well, that's what's been happening since Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, appeared on the planet. And he came to the West in 65. That's what happened. So the prediction is actually taking place. And we're sitting here talking about it. Even the Indians didn't know about it. Most of the Indians didn't know about it either. It's not like we're Westerners. Of course, we didn't know about it. Most of the Indians didn't know about it either. A lot of people talk about, oh, there's going to be a big shift. There's going to be a universal shift, and, you know, there's a comet coming and a meteor coming, and then and such a date, and what did they used to say? December 21st, 2011. It's all going to change. And they keep, you know, they come up with lots of dates. I've been sitting here, I'm 65, and I'm watching the dates come and go and come and go and come and go. And what? You know, the dimensional shift came. It happened. It happened when Chaitanya came to the planet 500 years ago. It's happening now. It takes a long time to actually change a direction among how many people? Millions of people. Huh? Doesn't it? It takes time. So, you know, it may not be in our lifetime, but it's already in motion. And it's said that since the appearance of Chaitanya and Nityananda, 10,000 years hence, because why? 10,000 years, what do you mean? 10,000, for the next 10,000 years, there will be a revolution in consciousness and a shift in consciousness. On earth. You may say, well, wait a second, I won't be here to see it. Hopefully you won't be here to see it, but you may come back and insist on seeing it, but that's your business. You know, we don't really want to come. We're not encouraging you to come back. We're encouraging you to go out this lifetime if you can. So over the next 10,000 years. So how do we shift the world from its current state of corruption? Are you aware that there is a current state of corruption in our world? Were you here in 2008 and 9 when the crash took place? Bankers, developers, politicians, accountants, stock market bankers and analysts, and you know what I mean, right? Everybody had his hand in the cookie jar, correct? Guess what? The next crash is coming now. Right now. Somewhere between January 9th of 2016 till March 27th, 2017. There's your 15-month window. How do I know? Because I predicted the last one using Vedic astrology, and I'm predicting this one. So now, did I ruin your day? I hope not. Life goes on. It always goes on. Right? You eat, you sleep, you get up, you work. You know, you buy some clothes. Get a roof over your... I mean, it goes on. But apparently, we got another one coming again. How bad will it be? Don't know. Hard to predict among millions of people worldwide. Hard to gauge. Too many variables. Right? Well, how do we remove the corruption? Not an easy thing to do either, now is it? I guess you could vote for candidate A or B. They hand stuff out on the street too. Do you put those in the bin as well? Because we're in the midst of an election. So how do we remove the world from its corrupt state? I'll tell you. This is from the Vedas. Persons are very rare that are devoted to God with their whole souls. If the world would be populated by such persons who are full of universal compassion, who are endued with knowledge of the soul. You may say, yeah, but I hold 2 PhDs in this subject, in this subject. I say, very nice, but what do you know about the soul? What do you know about your essence? What do you know about your spiritual nature? Because that's what lives on when your body and your material knowledge dies. What do you know about that? Who are endued with knowledge of the soul, who are always employed in doing good to others. Always employed in doing good to others. Then the golden age would set in to bring back the golden age in the midst of the iron age. The golden age would set in. All persons would act without any personal desire or need for selfish gain. Wow. That sounds like it. Without any personal desire or need for selfish gain. Well, I know I'm not there yet. It's not so easy to do. And Chaitanya Nitai, how do they factor into this? They're inviting you to develop love for God. They're handing it out free. They're giving it out free if you'll accept it. That's how. If you develop love for your fellow man, will you necessarily develop love for God? Yes or no? No. You won't. We can say, yeah, but I love my fellow man. All of it. Wonderful. That's fantastic. But I don't believe in God. Oh. If you develop love for God, will that necessarily include all of your fellow man? Yes. Now we got it coming and going, don't we? We got it down here on the physical plane, and we got it where we're going, to the spiritual realm, hopefully. We got it covered. We're not missing anything, right? The pleasure derived from Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema means love for God, love of God. Krishna Prema is compared to the ocean. It's compared to an ocean. And material pleasure is compared to the water you find in the hoof print of a calf. You've been on the farm, you've seen a little calf's hoof print, a little bit of water in there. That's how you measure material happiness compared to spiritual happiness. Sukhani gosh padayante, as it says in the Hari Bhakti Siddhodaya. Nityananda, by the way, on the altar, we have the Panchatattva. Chaitanya came with five members, chief members of his group. There they are on the altar in deity form. The one in the middle, and they're all dancing, because chanting and dancing, having fun. Their idea of spiritual life was, well, let's chant, let's sing and dance and have some fun. Then we're going to eat some Krishna prasadam. Doesn't sound like spiritual austerity. It sounds like a huli. It sounds like a keli. It sounds like a party. Well, yeah, it is. That's their method. Because it's easy for everybody. Chaitanya's in the middle. Next to Chaitanya, on your left, on his right, is Nityananda. These are the two prime personalities we're speaking of here. On your left, on the end, is Advaita Acharya. He's much older than them in terms of the material body. And he sat on the bank of the Ganga every day, and he had a Shalagram Shila, and he did a puja, and he offered tulsi, and he invoked, he cried out, when will you come? When will you come down and help all these suffering souls? He did that for how long? Years and years, until he was old and gray. Then Chaitanya came. Next to Chaitanya on your right is Gadadhara. Gadadhara Prabhu. Gadadhara is the essence of what? Of Shakti. He's in a male body, but he's the essence of the potency of the internal potency of Kladini Shakti. Energy of joy and bliss, which is usually embodied in all the goddess forms. Okay? So that's Gadadhar. And then Srivas, those are all the three on your left, Advaita, Nityananda, and Chaitanya, are God energy on some level. Vishnu, Tattva. Gadadhar is Shakti, is this internal energy or pleasure potency. And Srivas on this far end is Jiva Tattva. What's a Jiva? Soul. Just like us, we're all Jivas. So he is the incarnation of a devotee. So we're aspiring to be like him, essentially. So that's the Pancha. Pancha means five. Tattva means truths or manifestations. Okay, let's talk about some stories. Chaitanya's mother was Shachi Devi. And he grew up in a Brahmin family. He was born in a Brahmin family, which means kind of like priestly family, intelligent class. You know, they would see to the, they would minister to the spiritual needs of the community. So they'd be generally spiritual by nature. And or they would be scholars by nature. Chaitanya was the most brilliant scholar of his time. Even at the age of 12, he would defeat established scholars. So Chaitanya and Nityananda, Nityananda joined him later because they grew up in two different places. So he came to, they found each other, of course. And they were young men. In fact, at this point, Chaitanya was married. He did get married. And this was, the first one was what, Lakshmi Priya? His wife. Anyway, so Chaitanya and Nityananda are sitting there at Chaitanya's house, Mother Sachi, cooking. It's an interesting thing about God. Wherever God is, whatever pastime he may be involved in, if you go into the kitchen, the best cook in all the worlds is in that kitchen, I assure you. Right, Kurma? The best cook available is in the kitchen for God. When Krishna was here, Radharani was cooking, and nobody cooks like Radharani. You would turn into a puddle on the floor if you were to eat Radharani's cooking. So Mother Shachi, her cooking was also absolutely out of this world. So she's cooking lunch for them one day, and Chaitanya and Nitya are sitting there, and she brought in the food, and as she was bringing in some other plates, there were one plate in front of Chaitanya, one plate in front of Nitya. All of a sudden, a third plate appeared. Here's Chachi's. What's going on? She didn't say anything. Now there's three plates. Two of them are eating like nothing's happened. Then she went out. She brought in a plate of rice. They were gone. Now, where Chaitanya was sitting, there was Krishna, 5 years old, naked, forearms, conch, chakra, club, lotus flower. There, instead of Nityananda, was Krishna's brother Balaram, 5 years old, forearms, with the plow, with the danda, with the stick, eating as if nothing happened. And in Krishna's heart, she could see the goddess of fortune. Have you seen this? Sacred Heart of Jesus paintings, and you see also the many paintings of Hanuman with Ram and Sita, I think both. inside Hanuman's heart. Right? In the heart is where you keep what? Whom you love. And do we not have heart-shaped locket? And we put the picture in of who? Who we love the most. Maybe it's your mother. Maybe it's your love. Who knows? Maybe it's your children. I don't know. Right? This is an ancient tradition. So she could see Chaitanya's wife, Lakshmi Priya, in little Krishna's heart. Because God, when God is married, he's married to whom? The goddess of fortune. In whatever manifestation she comes, she's the goddess of fortune. What does the goddess of fortune mean? It means, don't you wish you had all the luck in the world? You ever heard that one before? Jeez, I wish I had all the luck in the world. He has all the luck in the world. He's got the goddess of fortune dwelling in his heart and living in his house. And Mother Sachi cooking in his kitchen. So it's win-win, no matter how you look at it. So that's what she saw. And what happened? It blew her mind. Okay, she couldn't process. How are you going to process that? She fell to the ground senseless. So then Chaitanya comes. Of course, now they've gone back to the original forms. Chaitanya Nitai. Mother, what is the problem? Wake up, what happened to you? You collapsed in the fleet, the rice is everywhere. Yeah. What happened? Why have you suddenly fallen on the ground? She's breathing heavily. She just gets up, she collects herself, and she goes into her room, closes the door, never says a word, and she's in ecstasy. She's in transcendental ecstasy because she is filled, imbued with love of God. That was the result. Yeah, God's her son. But it's too much to process when God's your son. You have to take my word on that. And what happens is we are covered by veils. You and I, my friends, are covered by veils right now.
Well, you may be, Prabhu, but I'm not.
No. We all are. Trust me on this. We're covered by veils. How do we know we're covered by veils? Because if you knew who you really were, essentially in your essence, that you were a soul, we'd all be collapsed on the floor right now, like Mother Sachi, and going, what was I thinking? What am I doing here? Why did I put in for this hard slog? Why is life so difficult? Why am I constantly faced with so many challenges? Why do people let me down? Why am I betrayed? Why do my loved ones die on me? Why? So even with spiritual personalities like God and his attendants, he has to cover the eyes because it's too much to process, just so they can stay functional. So they pulled the veil from Mother Sachi, and that's what happened. And they showed her this and that, and well, they're probably teasing her a little bit, you know, because they really like the food. And that's what happened. She fell apart. There's another story where Nityananda's visiting one afternoon, and Mother Sachi says, Nityananda, are you hungry, my son? She called him my son. Always called him my son. Treated him like her son. He was not her son. She treated him like that. And yes, I'm starving. I would love something. Ah, I have just a thing for you. I have some nice sandesh that I just made. You know what they do with sandesh? Sandesh is this lovely milk sweet. And sometimes they take these little molds and they put a pattern on top, you know, like a flower or some sort of pattern, right? You seen it? So there she had five pieces of sandesh, nice little flower pattern on each. She brought the plate to Nityananda. Here you are. Here you are. Enjoy my sandesh that I made for you. So Nityananda took the one piece of sandesh, he began to eat it, he took the other four, and he threw them over the wall, out of the compound. She said nothing. I thought you said you were hungry. She turned. She walked away. Then she came back in the kitchen, and there, on the table, were four pieces of sandesh. Where did these come from? Same ones. Same flower pattern. So then she went in to see Nityananda again. She said, and he's sitting there with the four pieces of sandesh that disappeared and then reappeared in the kitchen. Here they are in front of him. She's looking at him. Where did you get those pieces of sandesh? I saw you throw them over the wall. He says, yeah, I did, but you were upset, so I brought them back. So, then she says, Then she says, Nityananda, why are you deceiving me? I know who you are. I know you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you just stop all this nonsense trying to trick me. I know who you are. So every now and then she saw through it. The famous story is of Chaitanya told Nityananda to go and distribute love of God freely. And sometimes they would just, anybody he would look at and hold your gaze as I'm looking at you would be struck with love of God completely, totally, utterly, enraptured in bliss. And from there, there's no turning back to spiritual consciousness, to material consciousness. So he told Nityananda to go out and spread Krishna consciousness and get people interested in Krishna prema. There were two fallen Brahmins named Jagai and Madai, and they were drunkards and womanizers and different things. They would beat people up, and they became very unsavory characters. And when he first approached them, they started throwing stuff at him and chasing him. Him and Haridas Thakur. So finally, Nityananda converted or brought them round, would be a better word, Jagai and Madai. And Chaitanya said, if Nityananda says you're okay, then you're okay. Because they were actually threw a pot and hit Nityananda in the head and cut his head. And Chaitanya was ready to wreak some havoc. And Nityananda reminded him, he says, remember, no weapons. It's all about love and forgiveness and compassion. And Chaitanya says, yes, but they hurt you. And Nityananda says, yes, but I forgave them already. I've forgiven them. So then Chaitanya says, well, if you've forgiven them, then I too will forgive them. In fact, I will take on their negative sinful reaction, their negative karma, which he did energetically, and he immediately turned black. Soul body turned black from having taken on the negative karma. No, changed after a time, but that's what happened. In this age, Kali Yuga, the Iron Age. We have three things, right? Thoughts, words, deeds. Correct? Thoughts, words, deeds. We know we get karma, negative karma, positive karma, for actions. Correct? For deeds. You agree? Do you get karma for thoughts and words in Kali Yuga? No. You don't. You would in other ages, but not in Kali. Just for actions. So, unless, of course, you offend a high soul or a devotee or a very spiritual person. Yes, bro.
What if your words, for one good way, cause harm to another?
Yeah.
False witness.
Yeah. Well, that's a different. That may be a different thing, no. But that's what's stated in the Vedas, that typically you don't get karma for. But then you would, yeah. Absolutely. Once Nityananda asked his friend Raghava Pandit, he says, could you go and bring me a garland of kadamba flowers? I love kadamba flowers because I love the fragrance. They're so beautiful. And Nityananda said, Raghava Pandit said, oh, I'd love to do that, except I cannot because kadamba is not growing now. It's not in season. So I can't do it. He says, no, go to your house. And please make me a garland of kadamba. I don't have a kadamba tree in my house. I have a lemon tree. That's okay. Please. Just make me a garland of kadamba and bring it back. So he goes back to his house, Raghava Pandit. And his lemon tree is fully in blossom, fully in bloom with lemons, kadamba flowers. Can't believe it. So he picks the flowers and he prepares a wonderful garland. I mean, they are so powerful, the scent is so fragrant, it'll almost knock you over. And he brings it back. And he gives it to Nityananda, who's thrilled. Now, they are in... what town were they in here? Well, they went away for a few months to Panihati. And Chaitanya, at that time, was living in Jagannath Puri. So they're quite a long, long distance away. Two different places. So once the kadamba garland came, they begin to chant, to dance, to chant the names of God, to have kirtan, congregational chanting. And then a wonderful smell overtook the entire area. But it wasn't kadamba. It was damanaka, flowers. It overpowered the kadamba, and the whole place was permeated with damanaka. And no one knew where it came from. So when they finished the kirtan, Chaitanya said, we have been blessed. Pardon me, Nityananda said, we have been blessed that Chaitanya has come here to listen to our kirtan. He was sitting up there in that tree. And he was wearing a garland of damanaka flowers. And that's why everybody smelled damanaka. So that's another one of their pastimes. Now, have you, when you do your puja, or you do your meditation, or you do your chanting mantras, in your home, wherever, have you ever smelled some beautiful scent, really fragrant, like flowers, and you don't know where it came from? I don't mean a person walking past with perfume. Okay? Do you understand what I mean? Who's had this experience? Not too many. When that happens, there is a higher being, a divine being, who has come. Has come down, has come to join you, to see you, to... We've had that a lot. I know lots of people, actually, quite a few people have had that a lot. So if you notice, if you put yourself in a pretty high state, spiritually speaking, sometimes you feel like you're in the fire. You know what I mean? You're blissed out. You're in a very strong spiritual state of mind. You know what I'm saying, right? It's at times like those, or your meditation went very well. You were chanting, or you made an offering to the gods on the altar, or you cooked something nice for them. So that can happen. It's not uncommon. Nityananda was an avaduta. He was a renunciate. An avaduta means somebody who is highly, highly renounced. So much so that they forget to eat. They forget to do lots of stuff because they're too absorbed in the meditation. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not necessarily a social position either, from that point of view. So he went from that, and Chaitanya said, now you need to become more participant in the world around you, this world. That's what you want me to do now? Yes, I want you to spread love of God. You need to interact with all the people. So now I want you to give up being a renunciate. I want you to take a wife at some point. Now you want me to get married? Yeah, I want you to get married. But first, now an avaduta or renunciate would wear very simple clothing. Would you find any jewelry on such a person? Not usually. You know, no frills, no fancy things. Chaitanya says, now I want you to wear these gemstones. These gemstones? He says, yes, nine gemstones. Now, it's very common in India, astrologically speaking, to wear Navaratna, which is a nine-stone ring with the nine planetary stones, ring or sometimes pendant. But this was not the Navaratna. These were the nine processes of devotional service. That's what the gems represented. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So these are the nine processes of devotional service that we were taught. And this is nine separate ways to develop love for God. Shravanam, hearing. You're hearing. I'm speaking, you're hearing. Kirtanam, speaking or chanting. I will chant again in a minute. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Toward whom? Toward God. Smaranam, remembering God. Padasevanam, serving his lotus feet. Archanam, deity worship. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakyam, becoming his friend. Befriending God. We talked about that last time I was here. You can have God as your friend? Oh yeah. Absolutely. You get God as your friend, you'll have your best friend. Atmanivedanam. Complete self-surrender. So, those are the nine processes. He was wearing the nine gems. He used to have a hard time with it. So I'll conclude this now. Chaitanya and Nityananda are delivering love of God, freely given, freely available. Most of us, no offense, would not have the qualification in this Iron Age, age of Kali, with all the temptations to make it out of the wheel of repeated birth and death, make it back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. In this age, because of the intercession of Chaitanya and Nityananda, it's the easiest. It's readily available. So that's why we're here, to encourage you to take advantage of it and to chant, dance, and take Krishna prasadam, food that's been offered to Krishna. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, everything you do, if you offer it to God, how? Formally? Yeah, formally. Or in your mind. Just in your mind, in your heart. God, I'm doing this for you. Then, what does it mean? It means it. There's no negative karma attached to it. There's no karma attached to it. And when you have no karma left, you get out of the material world. You don't have to come back down here again. Yes, Prabhu.
So, that last point of karma. Like, I work, I do stuff, and I do it for gain. And I say, thank God. I say, thank God that I have to work. And that, but how? I'm still gaining. I'm still benefiting from it. It doesn't feel like karma yoga just because I'm saying thank you, God.
So you're saying thank you, God, which means that this is mine.
Yes, it's like you give me the ability. And
yeah, but are you offering it? Saying, I'm doing this for you.
Well, would that not be a lie? Because I'm actually saying I'm doing this so that I can get something in return, if you know what I mean. But rather than just giving lip service, hey, I'm doing this for you.
Well, it would be a lie if you didn't mean it.
Yeah. Do you know? So.
But what if you meant it? Then would it be a lie?
Okay.
I
know I'm going to benefit simultaneously.
It's okay if you benefit. If you offer it to him, the results that you're getting are prasadam, they're mercy. As long as you're not attached to the results, and as long as you're doing it for him. Any action you do for your own self, without thinking about anybody else, especially not thinking about God, is a product of your ego. Right? You may argue, but I need this, that's fine. But it's a product of your ego. That same action, I don't care what the action is. First you offer to God, God, I do this for you. I do this for your pleasure, for your satisfaction. Because I belong to you. Then, you say, well, I didn't do it perfectly. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is the love or the sentiment, the loving sentiment. That's the essence of it. Once you do that, you may still benefit from the activity, but it's no longer ego-based. It's been offered to God. Therefore, it becomes purified. Right? That's how it works. And no karma attaches to it. Now, if that action is hurting somebody, that's a separate thing, right? But if it's just a normal action that is like you work or you go to work, you do this, you do that, just regular actions, any action you offer it to God, then the ego is no longer invested in it. You're giving it to God. Now, you can't be attached to the results. Sometimes things work out, sometimes things don't. We know that. So if you get what you want, you say, oh God, thanks so much. Thank you. This is really wonderful. I'm very grateful. That's nice. What if you don't get what you want? Say, offered it to you. You didn't give it to me. Son of a gun, People do that, by the way. No. Now you're attached to the result. If you're attached to the result, you can see now the ego is reinvested in it. The ego is invested in it all the time. I will worship you. I will offer you everything, God, as long as you give me exactly what I want when I ask for it. Deal? No, there's no deal. That's not how it works. You have to surrender your ego. Guess whose ego loves to be surrendered? Let's raise our hands. No one's. Ego is like an entrenched junkyard dog guarding the territory. I'm not giving up my territory for anything or anybody. That's the ego. In case you hadn't noticed. Everybody's ego. That's why it's so hard to get out of here. To neutralize that. To, you know, it's like getting covered in molasses or treacle. You can't get it off, you know. It's next to impossible. It takes a long time. Offer it to God. Oh, it rinses off. First time. That's how you do it. So, there's that. And beyond that is Krishna Prema, love of God. So let us jubilantly give thanks to Chaitanya and Nitai, who have come to save us, we fallen souls, in the Iron Age of Kali Yuga. Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Thank you very much for your attention. I don't know. Not that I know of. Do you?
No.
No. Well, Parashuram didn't have a second, and Vamana didn't have a second, and Shukara didn't have a second. The boar incarnation.
Yes.
So they didn't have a second.
Next question.
Rasingadeva didn't have a second. Sorry? Yeah, those are... Well, Vamana is a human form. Dwarf Brahman.
Navadvip,
yeah.
Nine islands.
Yeah.
Do they have any relationship with the nine processes?
Yes. Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Yeah, you can look that up, but yeah, they do. Okay? Arranged. Jai.
We'd like to thank Juyoda Nagaru Prabhu for his...